Where are they at? I want to see them. One, I want both. Who's one? Where's one? Where's Tara? There's Tara. Where's your husband? He hid, didn't he? He just plays and then he leaves the building like Elvis. Just like Elvis. Derek has left the building. That's funny. Did you go get him? Yeah, go down, go by your wife. Act like you love her. She's over here, I think, just in case you're looking. Yeah, your other wife. The reason I want y'all together is the Lord gave me a really good word for you. Even though you're going to Wisconsin, I hate the Packers. As long as you're still a Cowboy fan, otherwise I'm not giving you this word. I'm just kidding. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me this morning, and this is prior to me knowing you're in John 20. He just said they need, 2020, by the way, I did a whole message on what 2020 is, and 20 years of waiting is over was the principle of the message. But the Lord just showed me this morning that you will walk in your name. Now, here's what's so cool for me. Y'all's names don't mean nothing fancy in the Greek or the Hebrew, right? But when it's Derek, what does a Derek do but explode in valuable stuff coming out of it? It might look ugly. Oil looks ugly to other people. In fact, when I was a kid, we were moving to Hobbs, New Mexico, and I was driving into Hobbs, New Mexico as a child, and I'm like, man, it stinks here. And my dad, who worked for Chevron Oil, said, you smelling money, right? So what might stink to other people, I'm just telling you, God is fixing to explode this Derek in you, and it's going to overwhelm and overflow your family, starting at your family and all out into the world. Do you get what I'm saying? Because this ain't play, man. I don't make stuff up. Tara, you have been terrorized for the last couple of years, and the Lord is saying you are now going to terrorize the enemy. And your terrorizing of the enemy comes through something that you're very good at, and that is prayer. And when you lock into those days, there's going to be a time. I'll tell you what, I'll give you an example. My mother is a prayer warrior. And when I was young, she said, pray for me a lot. That's a whole different story. But she was a prayer warrior. And one time she was praying to something. Was there so strong that she called the pastor and tried to get him to come over at 2 o'clock in the morning because something was up and she didn't know what it was. And he said, it's just the Holy Spirit. So there's a gifting God has given you. But for going from being terrorized to being the terror is powerful. And you're going to walk in that. It's going to be concerning your entire family and out from there. Okay? And bless the baby. And that baby will live and not die in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. I need to ask your last name. What's your last name? Flowers. Holy smoke. You're going to bloom where you plant. Hey. Wow. I wish I would have known that, man. That's greatness. Okay, wow. Okay, well, let me stay here because I like the new service time, by the way. I like the fact that your guys are actually awake when you come in. I love that. I love what God is doing. God is doing something in our church. And it really does have to do with this new 2020 thing. But last week, I talked about being strong and courageous. And remember what we talked about, how when you move into new things, the reason God had to keep telling Joshua to be strong and courageous was because he was going into territory he'd never been before. In fact, his entire life, he walked in being uncomfortable like that because he was taking territory, new territory every time. And so that's what we talked about last week. So this week, what I want to look at, I want to actually go back before him. Look at the very first battle that the Israelites had after they left Egypt. Obviously, Moses was their leader. But again, this was territory they had never been. They had been in slavery forever, y'all. So none of these people knew anything about being free. None of them knew anything about even the wilderness where they were going to be walking. They knew nothing but the harshness of the Egyptian government. And so what happened, let me just give you a preface of where I'm headed to. And that is where when they left Egypt, you remember the story, as their enemy was coming after them, God instructed Moses to hold his staff over the water, and the water split, and they got almost all the way through. And after Israel was all the way through, the water consumed all the Egyptians. God fought that battle for them, right? And then the water at Marah, where the people were complaining. People were always complaining. Here's a weird people. All the time they were complaining. Every time God helped them in their complaining. Could you imagine if we were grateful what he'd do? So So they went from there and they went to Marah, because the reason it's called Marah is because the water was bitter. And the Lord instructed him to pick up a piece of wood and chunk it in the water. He picked up a piece of wood, chunked it in the water, and the water became good, and they drank it. So then they keep going, and then we know the manna story. They were hungry. They didn't have any food. And so God provided this manna, and he said only pick it up once. And they were deserted on the weekend when it's Sabbath, and you can get 2 days worth. And some people try to cheat and get more than they were deserved, and it would get all rotten and stuff. So because of that means they had to depend on God daily for their thing. And that was cool. How cool is that, man? Manna from heaven. How cool is that? That wasn't good enough for them. They were like, we want meat. And back in Egypt, we had meat. God said, you want meat? I'm going to give you quail. And the Bible says, I'm going to give you quail. And the Bible says that it went up to their nostrils, because he said that. He said, I'm going to give you so much quail up your nostrils so you can eat it. That's what he said. That's really what God said. Read your Bible. You'll read it. It's in there. And so this is all what has happened so far up to this point. And then now we're to where we are is when, again, the water, they couldn't have any water. There was no water to be found. They're griping and complaining. I get it. There's no water. You're thirsty. Griping and complaining. The Lord tells him to strike a rock and Rephidim. And what did he do? He struck the rock, and the water came out of the rock. And we have songs that were written. Water from the rock is what I needed. We get it. So that's the scenario where we're at. And now we're fixing to have the first battle where they actually have to physically fight themselves. Look at this. It's good stuff. So while the people of Israel, they just had the water, were still in Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them, and Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. And tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua and Hur, Moses had commanded, and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the nearby hill. Let me give you a little background on the old Amaleks. Amalek, these are the Amalekites, but Amalek was the cousin of the Israelites. All the whole tribe were cousin of the Israelites, because the Amalek clan came out of Esau, and the Israelites came out of Jacob. Do you remember that story? And so the Amaleks always, you can't blame them for wanting to attack Israel all the time, because it was Esau that Jacob deceived to get his birthright, which means he got everything that Esau was supposed to get. So there was a big row, and if you look at the fight between the two brothers, Jacob and Esau, you can do that yourselves, you'll see there was a constant battle. Well, what happened was, now you fast forward, and so, the Amalekites are now always wanting to attack these guys. So Jacob deceives him for his birthright. So no wonder they were after him. In fact, here, let me give you a preface of what God had said concerning Amalek and the Amalekites. He said, never forget, this is in Deuteronomy, never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt, talking about this very story. How they attacked you from when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind, and they had no fear of God. I want to smash you. It's those times where you are weak and you are weary that the enemy's going to come in and try to smash you. Those are the times where we need to stand up and praise in the face of the enemy. So the Amalekites attacked again at the weakest point, and that's what Satan does. So to fight, now this is interesting. So to fight, Moses goes to the top of the hill with a stick in his hand. Okay, we're going to fight the battle, but God tells this leader to go to the top of the hill with these other two leaders and take a stick with him, the staff. But by the way, this staff, this stick was no ordinary stick. This is the same staff that when he was trying to get the Pharaoh to let the people go before all the plagues and stuff, where he threw down his staff to prove that he was from God, and the staff turned into a snake. Well, all of Pharaoh's little buddies got theirs. They got tricks too. Don't think the enemy doesn't have power. It's just we got more. And so they throw theirs down, and that one turns into a snake too. But our snake swallowed that snake. Right? You got it. So now we got a staff that's got a big old snake in it. You got it. And then from there, so every time there was a plague, to stop the plague on the people, he raised that staff, this stick, this piece of wood. He would raise it up. I'm going and crying. They were leaving order how this happened. And then the Red Sea, when they were leaving in there, you know, again, the people are complaining. Why didn't we go the shortcut? Because there was a shorter way to get out. But God directed them straight to the water. You get it. They could have gone a quicker way. They could have took the toll road. But God said, no, I want you to go the country road. And so they're like, why did you? You took us straight to the water, and they're right behind us. They're going to kill us. And then what did you use that staff? God said, raise that staff. And he raised that staff up. That water parted. They walked through, and all of Egypt was drowned. And Miriam wrote a song and sang it about killing the enemy in the sea. It was powerful stuff, man. It was good stuff. But that was what that staff did. And then, of course, the last scenario is where it gave water from the rock where the Lord instructed him to smack that rock. You see, here's what I want you to understand. The staff had no power, but it was a symbol of God's power, his protection, and his provision. That staff had no power, but it was power in the hands of Moses because Moses believed in that stick. Ladies and gentlemen, I proclaim to you this morning, we have a stick. We have two sticks that are made as a cross. And that cross is our power, our provision. You get it? That's what it is. And when we believe in the power of the cross, not the power in doing the cross, but the power of what Christ did on the cross, then we will walk in victorious power at all points, at all times. So here is Moses going to the top of the mountain with his staff and Hur and Aaron. So, let's look at the next scripture. Whoops. Yeah, this is the next scripture. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed to destruction, but we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. The cross is. The cross. The cross is where the damage, when Jesus rose from the dead, that completed it, but it was the cross that did this. You get it? Okay. So every battle is won with the cross. We are victorious when we walk in the cross, understanding the cross, knowing the cross, the brutality of the cross, the forgiveness in the cross, the healing that's in the cross. By his stripes we are healed. By his blood we are set free, and we are free, and we are free, we are free. Free from what? Free from thinking that you can sin bad enough not to have your ticket. You're free from that because Jesus said, as far as your sins are going, say, east is from the west. You're free, not the north and the south, because you start north, you'll start going south. East to west, start going east. You ain't never going west again. Do you get it? That's how far our sins are gone. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. So if you're remembering it, who's remembering it to you? Thank God. Sorry. Got a little something in me this morning. It's because last week I felt like I was in a big old fog thing. After the service, I'm like, did that make sense? Oh man, that one. I'm like, whatever, that was God. So here's the let's keep going in this story here. So as long as Moses held the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained advantage. So Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. And let's just pause right there. Don't try to make this too holy. I'm telling you, he was holding his hands up, and they realized if they're going to help hold his hands up, he needed to sit down so they could have access to it, or their hands are going to get tired too. You get it? All right, so sometimes we try to spiritualize stuff that's just common sense. That's common sense says, I can hold it from here a whole lot better than from here. So they got a rock for him, and he sat on it. Says, then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset, and they had started at sunrise. And as a result of what? As a result of them holding up his hands, so his hands were steady, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. Let me back up. Let me tell you about Aaron. In the Bible, it says that Aaron is actually Moses' brother, but if you study it out and if you believe in Josephus, who was a historian, he actually had married Miriam. And this makes more sense when you saw when Aaron and Miriam came up against Moses. It makes more sense than if they were if they were brother and sister. But anyway, so he was known as his brother, but the historians will tell you it's his brother-in-law. Not the point. The point is, these two men were two men that Moses trusted that he had with him. So here's what I want you to see. That these men were the ones that Moses trusted. Here's a scripture, great scripture. This is back when the Ten Commandments was coming. It says, the Lord told Moses, come up to me on the mountain, stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone on which I have inscribed the instruction commands so you can teach the people of Israel. This is the whole Ten Commandment thing. The mountain. Okay, so Moses and his assistant, Joshua, how cool is that? And Moses climbed up the mountain of God, but Moses told the elders, stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with them. These men were obviously men that Moses trusted, right? So back to the story. It was the help of these two that ensured that the battle was won. It was because these guys ensured the battle was won. But here's a couple of illustrated points I want you to see. When you have a battle that's in your life, get your hands up. Do you hear me? You don't sit there and grovel and fret. You get your hands up in praise. I'm not playing. I've been down this road, ladies and gentlemen. This ain't playtime. This ain't, oh, woe is me. This is, I praise you, God. You are all powerful. You are all holy. You're the one that sustains me. You're the one that takes care of me. You're the one that pays my bills. You're the one that covers my stupid decision. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. Oh, I just don't know. But you're the one. I praise you, but watch this. When you are incorporated, this is why church is so important. When you're incorporated in the body of believers and you feel like you're alone and your hands are so tired, you've been praying, you don't know what else to say to God, there God will raise up people around you to help hold your hands up. Do you not remember their way through the story of when the dude that was paralyzed, well, they couldn't get their way through the door, so what did they do? They climbed on the roof and started ripping the roof off the thing, right? And then they dropped the dude right down into Jesus. You know what? That dude didn't have a choice to know whether or not. He could have been telling them the whole time, I ain't doing it. I'm not going to go down there. Stop it, stop it, stop it. No, sir, it was the faith of those four men that ripped that off those people, and he dropped them down to into the realm of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. You are never alone when you're part of a church family, ladies and gentlemen. You're not. You really aren't. Oh, that was all in me too. Sorry. Okay. My wife's not here to keep me on point. But I'm staying here. I'm staying here. I'm staying here. So here's the question. This is the question. That staff represented crazy power with God, right? Moses was an old guy. So by the way, I think I told you last week, when Moses died, he was healthy. God just said, it's time for me to move on somewhere else. It's time for us to get in with Joshua, because Joshua was the warrior. But Moses was an old man. And Moses was getting tired. A lot of it was because he's an old man. Listen, when I was 20, I could probably hold my arms up for 2 hours. Today, I can hold them up for maybe a minute before something starts cramping. And so here, why didn't God just give Moses the strength? Holy smoke, man, you remember Samson. Every time something would happen, the Spirit of the Lord would come on Samson, and he killed 1,000 guys with the jawbone of a donkey. He was crazy strong. God gave him strength even after he had his hair cut off. They put him, placed him between the two monstrous pillars that hold up the Colosseum, and he pushed him over. He did kill himself, but he killed all the others too. Why didn't God just do that? Why didn't he do that? That's a good question, Steve. Well, let me answer it for you, because that's not his way. God's way is to raise up people, to raise up leadership, to raise up folks that will listen to him and walk in power to him. And here's what I want you to understand. He's made a way in his structure. Sorry, I got something. In his structure of the way his church is to be. And that in the New Testament, that is the eldership of the church. For years, this church has walked under Now, deacons are very constitution and bylaws of deacons. Now, deacons are very, very, very huge part of the church. In fact, I can name you deacons. But here's what I want you to see. Over the years, and I mean over the years, I'm talking 20 plus years, God has protected us. God has protected this church. Though we have this whacked out constitution and bylaws, he has protected us by placing in place men that have been called deacons for years, and they're not deacons, they're elders. The word is presbyteros, and it means elder men that are seasoned, not with knowledge, but with wise judgment and wisdom. And I go back to when I first came to this place, and this place was a mess. Steve Metter, are you here? Steve Metter's not here. Wow, good, I'll talk behind his back. This place was a mess. And Steve Metter and David Smith, who's not here today because he's of his health, held this guy's arms up when there was stuff going on that was crazy. And you fast forward to my daughter's death, and it was those same two men that held my arms. I'm not saying other people did stuff, didn't do stuff. I'm just saying it was those two men. And as I can go, I can give you story after story after story all throughout these years. When I had serious surgery last year, and y'all didn't know how serious it was because I don't tell my stuff. But I had Steve Troyer on one hand, and I had Chuck on the other, and I had Gary, and I had Al, and all these people that raised their hands, held my hands up because they have a calling. But over the years, we've had, here's what's so ironic, we've had these same guys called deacons. And we also have elders that can't be called deacons because our constitution and bylaw says you can't be on staff. You got Chuck Lankford, who can't be a deacon because his wife's on staff. You got Glenn Woodson, who's a deacon. I've got six men who have been at this place forever, y'all, forever. And we need to set this place in order. So just threw that out there. How's that? So there you go. Hearing that in a bag of chips. Actually, for those of you who are members, we've tweaked the constitution bylaws. You'll be getting that in your hands so that we can get this thing, so we can get it set in proper order, our church. But over the years, as we've had other people come and go, and I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. Please hear me. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. But they've come and go, but I've had these solid men that have been leaders in this church, and they are elders, presbyteros. They are not diakonos, which is what deacons are. However, we've got deacons, and by the way, let me really rattle your little cage. We got deaconesses. Now, I ain't playing. Cynthia Smith is a deaconess. Now, whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. She's a deaconess. She touches lives that nobody knows she's touching lives. She hand makes cards for me when I'm down and I'm out, and she hands them to me personally. That woman is a deaconess because she's serving. Henry Manrique is a deacon. You get what I'm saying? He serves his church. He serves his church, but we've been out of whack so long, we've got to get our place in order. And in all honesty, it's not about constitution bylaws other than the government of the United States of America. But we need to get ourselves in order. We need to see these men and represent who they are, who they are in our lives. These men are the men that have gathered around Gay and I, man, and have supported us in all kinds of crazy ways, financially, whatever. It's true. It's true. And I just got way off the track there. So, side note. Membership, you'll be getting a thing in the mail with a constitution bylaws that you can read through and throw rocks at or whatever you want to do. We need to set this place in order for the future generations to come. That's all that. Well, there you go. I'm on my conclusion. I just kind of never got there. Pay attention. When his arms were raised, didn't say immediate victory happened, did it? It said, we started winning. When his arms went down, the enemy started winning. You're going to be in a battle, and sometimes it's going to take till sunset. And if you get weak, you have folks around you here, ladies and gentlemen. You call, you text, you get on Facebook, however you communicate now. And you let them know, I need some help here. And they will hold your arms up. And you know what's so cool to me? There's no, in the Bible, her, that's the only, you're not going to find her in the Bible. You're going to see him in a movie. Been her in a movie. But you're not going to, you're not going to, he was just a man that was called by God to hold the hands up of leaders. All of us, when we go through it, and we do, and I used to be king of self-inspection. What am I doing wrong? I'm sorry, God, I made a stupid decision. Raise your arms. Isn't it amazing? Amalek was the cousin of Israel. You might have some relatives that's your enemy, or you think they're your enemy. They're not. Raise your hands. Raise them up. Raise them up now. Let's see how long you can keep them raised. Because it's hard. Like right now, I've got mine up, and I'm already starting to feel, and I work out, but I'm already starting to feel the gravity. There you go. That's exactly right. The gravity of the situation. Yes. Yeah, you know, keep them up. Keep them up. See, what happens is you want to let them down and keep them up. And then when they slowly start happening and slowly start falling and slowly start falling. That's when you have people around you. And there's a ton of great people around you. Do you understand something? Keep them up. No, don't take them down. I get to. You don't. Man, our pastor, he tortured us today. Man, whatever. That's part of it. I see some of y'all trying to cheat now. All right, you can let them down. I feel guilty. Could you imagine where any two or three are gathered in his name, the Bible says, I'm in the midst of them. You imagine if it wasn't just me in my office. You think I'm crazy in my office. I have a prayer shawl. I have a prayer. Oh, I think I used it from teaching a year or two ago. But I have a prayer shawl that I wear. And people go, oh, man, where'd you get that? I said, well, I bought it used. Because I did. I bought it used from Israel, from a guy who would pray in it at the Wailing Wall. So when I lay that thing across my shoulders, it ain't special probably, but to me it is. But in my office, and I got my arms raised, could you imagine if every single person in here would get in your place and raise your hands, how much power would happen? And then as we gather as a church, a body of wonderful, beautiful believers, our city, our state, and our nation will change. That's the heart of me. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of this church. And man, oh man, oh man, instead of pointing, let's point up. I'm done. Y'all can stand. Chuck's going to come up here, and we're going to have communion together. Everybody knows where the communion is. If you don't, somebody stand up where the communion is and maybe even hold it for people so they can have access to it.
All right. Come on down, guys. Grab your communion. There's three up front, and there's three along the walls in the back. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to share something with you. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans 11:33, and we'll get there in a second. The whole day today, the whole message, and maybe it's just me and where I'm at and where my walk is, boils down to two words. You know, we sing, ain't no grave, life, walking in victory, walking in freedom. Steve teaches this amazing message, be strong and courageous, talking about the battle, keeping your hands raised, keeping your hands raised, keeping your hands raised, supporting other people's hands, helping them keep their hands raised. Boils down to two words, focus and purpose. What is your daily focus? What is your daily purpose? And it boils down to a Romans 11.
Hey, how are you doing? Good.
To me. Romans 11:33, and we'll go to 36. It says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? or who has been given, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. It's all about focus. It's all about purpose. This whole thing we do, this life called Christianity, the way we walk, it's all about giving God glory. Every word, every action, every deed, every step is to bring him glory, period. I read the Bible. I don't read it as an instruction manual. I don't read it as anything other than my focus and my purpose is to bring him glory in my life. That's my sole purpose. That is my sole focus as I walk this out. Focus and purpose, and that's to bring him glory and to glorify him in everything.
Yes, sir.
Home, work, walking down the street, waking up, taking a shower, it's all for his glory. Everything is for his glory. Thank you, Steve. Excellent, excellent word. God, we just raise this cracker, this bread, represents your body. It's beaten and broken for us, God. We thank you for that. We thank you for the cross. But God, we thank you that you were taken off that cross. We thank you that you were put in a tomb. We thank you were taken out of a tomb. And now you sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, praying for us. Ever interceding for us right now, forever and ever, at the right hand of the Father. God, we thank you for that. And we thank you for what you did for us on the cross. We take this together. We lift up this cup of juice, which represents your blood, that signs that new covenant, that gives us freedom, gives us victory, gives us life, that lets us know no grave going to hold us down. Nothing's going to keep us from you, Lord. Nothing. God, you are our focus. You are our purpose. And we give you glory, God. We take this together. Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are beautiful. You are amazing. We thank you for today. But not only that, God, we just thank you for life. Life. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Whoop, whoop. All right. Love you guys. Tonight, 6 p.m., bring snacks, bring finger foods. We'll have fellowship after, but please come and join us. Come check it out. It's going to be a good time.